Hello, and welcome to podcast 457 of Straight No Chaser, a jazz show. This is Jeffrey Siegel, and this podcast introduces you, if you're not already familiar with, the jazz-loving detective, private detective, I should say, Casey McKee from Joan Merrill's series of novels. Her latest one is called And All That Motive. Introduces us to the San Francisco jazz community, where Casey is friendly with a jazz club owner, a former singer by the name of Dee Jefferson, who gets involved in a murder as a possible suspect. Ms. Merrill is no stranger to the jazz scene. She's somebody who's been involved as a talent management in booking, producing radio shows for NPR's Jazz Profile series. She's produced CDs for people like Nancy Kelly and Rebecca Paris, and she's written liner notes for people like Houston Pearson. She's also somebody with a great passion for the music of Carmen McRae, and we'll hear her talk a little bit about jazz singers and what she considers a jazz singer to be and who she considers to be some of her favorites. She's also passionate about the music of Doris Day, underappreciated for sure, and is involved as producer of a musical about Doris. So without further ado, let's introduce you to Casey McKee and Joan Merrill.
But let's begin by asking a question that you ask on your websites. What is jazz singing anyway, Joan Merrill?
Well, I think there are different jazz singers approach it different ways. There are those who consider themselves instruments, so they scat, and they use their voice like a horn. And then there are others, I mean, and some, of course, do both, but Ella Fitzgerald, prime example. But there are others who, to whom the lyrics are the most important, and they feel their job is to get across the emotions of the lyric with their techniques. That's, the latter is the one I'm most interested in, that type.
So then, if you were to start to pick the people in, to illustrate this point for people, you'd pick Ella Fitzgerald
Carmen
on
McRae.
The horn side, Carmen McRae?
No, Carmen McRae for lyric interpretation, number one.
Ah.
For instrument, of course, Ella, when she scats, when she does that, because she's also a good ballad singer, and Anita O'Day.
Mm-hmm.
Anita O'Day is great. And Ernestine Anderson has a marvelous sense of time. Yeah, Rebecca Paris, I think, is a wonderful lyric interpreter. And mm-hmm. Diana Krall is interesting. When she first began, and I think that's more than about 20 years ago, she was sort of criticized for being a pretty face and not a real jazz singer, but in my opinion, she has evolved into a very good jazz singer.
So then what is it about jazz or jazz singing or altogether that motivates your detective in your now 5 books, I guess, in the series?
Well, in the sense that she reflects me, she digs jazz singing. Just like I do.
Mm-hmm. Is she a frustrated singer?
No, neither am I. It's sort of like someone who expresses the emotions that we all have, and jazz singing expresses them in a impactful way, due to the music.
When you first began to come up with the whole thing, and as you said, there's a certain amount of alter ego in there, involved with it, what made you decide to go the mystery series way? Because I think it was a great idea.
Well, I always did want to become a writer, and by writer I mean fiction writer, because I have done other nonfiction books. To me, the mystery novel was doable. I read a lot of them. I knew how I could do it, and it's a challenge. It's an intellectual challenge to do a mystery novel. So that's why I chose that genre, because I don't have a novel in me in the sense of some traumatic experience that I want to express. So mystery seemed like a good choice because I felt I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And why did I choose jazz? Because I knew the scene, and I figured what they say, write what you know. And it would be an interesting milieu to select for the mysteries.
Mm. And certainly for detectives, jazz is not a completely foreign sight, particularly West Coast detectives. There's a few of them, you know, Harry Bosch in particular, and Peter Gunn hanging out at Mother's and all, who've had that in the past there, but maybe it wasn't for the same reason that Casey McKee does.
Well, I think I notice sometimes on TV, too, that the detectives or the police lieutenants or whatever, when they go home at night, they pour themselves a whiskey and put Miles Davis on the gramophone. I think jazz, to certain people, is just cool, but maybe males. And for me, it's more emotional.
So let's talk a little bit about the new book and all that motive. What have we got in this particular story?
Well, the murder takes place. A male jazz singer, very popular male jazz singer, is killed at a jazz festival, found the day after his concert in his dressing room, shot. And Casey is there because her friend Dee is also performing. And the police hit upon Dee as an immediate suspect because she had an argument with Sid, that's the singer, and they know that she owns a gun. So they question her, and she's a person of interest, say. So Casey, of course, to protect her friend, knowing full well that she didn't do it, has to find the real killer. So that's the basic story.
Neat, a great idea, man. And I think you successfully moved her around a little bit into New York in one particular book, and now with the jazz festival and all. I think you're getting to cover all the sites sooner or later, huh?
Well, she did go on a cruise too.
That's right, the jazz cruise.
The second
I forgot about
book,
that.
She went on a jazz cruise, and she went to New York. She went to Seattle. She went to L.A. I don't intend to write a jazz history, so whatever idea I get, that's where she goes. And the next one I'm starting probably next month, it will take place at a jazz camp in the Redwoods.
Now, I know, and All That Madness you had done as an audio book. That must be an unusual experience for an author. Did you get to sit in and direct, or did you have to just keep your mouth shut and let them do it?
Well, I picked someone who I knew could do it very well. Lisa Clancy, do you know her?
Just by name.
Yeah, she's the morning host.
No, I'm familiar with a radio show.
Yeah, KCSM. She has a great, great voice, and she's an outgoing personality. So I just knew that she could do it. So what I did was I sent her the chapters, gave her a description of the characters, how I envisioned them, and just let her do it. And then we didn't even meet. She sent me the chapters. I critiqued them. Sometimes she redid them, sometimes mostly not. And that's the way we did it.
And what has the reaction been from people? Do they think that you captured the voice of the person properly?
Yes, the people who have heard it say that she did an excellent job, which she did, and she changes her voice per the character. Her emotional responses are, right on, and so, yeah, I think she did a terrific job. I want her to do all of them eventually.
Casey, I just found out Georgia Valentine didn't kill herself. She was murdered. Dee's excited voice echoed in my ear. I'd been doing background checks for my bread-and-butter client, the Barton Lehman Law Firm, and had a hard time switching from cyberspace to Dee's fantasy world. Dee, what are you talking about? Georgia Valentine. You've heard of her, right? Yeah, along with Duke Ellington and Miles Davis. Georgia Valentine was America's first and most influential female jazz singer, known not only for her unique approach to songs, but also for her drug addiction. You know she died of a heroin overdose. Well, who doesn't? But I thought you said murder. I did. This letter of hers, someone found it, says she was clean when she died. Someone else gave her that shit. Someone killed her. Right. And Marilyn Monroe was murdered by the Kennedys. Elvis really isn't dead, and JFK was shot by fill in the blanks. Now, Casey, listen to me. This is for real. This musician, name of Bobby Walton, just passed. They went through his things and found a letter from Georgia. She wrote him that she was off drugs. But get this. She told him someone was out to get her, and she was scared. Scared? Of what? That someone was gonna do away with her. I got up from my desk, holding my phone to my ear, and headed for the kitchen. I needed some coffee to deal with this conversation. Why would anyone want to do that? I don't know. But Georgia lived in a fast world. You're working in clubs owned by gangsters, hanging out with drug dealers, being with low-life men. It could be anybody. I grabbed my coffee beans from the cupboard and shook some into the grinder. But history says, screw history. What do those people know? They didn't live the life.